So I'm still planning to preach on James one of these days, just not today. I'd like to start that new series when we have our full congregation here. So we're going to do something a little different today. Well, we're just going to do a different passage from Romans chapter 12. And, you know, I was thinking about our world today, and it's a lot of interesting things going on. We've talked about the snow. A record-breaking winter in a lot of regards. A lot of people complaining about that and affecting a lot of different people. I think about our society and a lot of different things going on in our society, some of it good, some of it very bad. I think about our world. I think about persecution. I think about execution of our brothers and sisters across the world. We live in a broken world. God has told us that. It's broken. It's cursed. Jesus is going to fix that eventually. He has already begun to fix that. But what I'd like to do is to talk to you today about how we're supposed to live in this world. And I'll just be reading the first two verses of Romans 12. And it says this, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So it begins with a therefore, and you know that's a very important word in the Bible. It means there's something really good before it and then connects it to something really good after it. And what's preceded this is 11 chapters of the gospel, of God has poured out his mercy and his grace on us. And if you've read through Romans, you know there's a Romans road to salvation, a way to share the gospel just in the book of Romans. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? And then in Romans 6, it says the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Romans 10, it says, all those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So God has poured out this free gift on us. If you recognize you're a sinner who's fallen short of the glory of God, and you repent and you put your faith in Jesus, then your sins are not counted against you, and you get to live forever, and that's because of God's grace and his mercy. That brings us to chapter 12. Therefore, this is how we should live. Paul has 11 chapters before he gets to the application. Therefore, he finally gets in chapter 12. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So what does that mean, a living sacrifice? Well, the point that's being made here is we don't need any more dead sacrifices. The animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament, those are no longer needed because Jesus was and is the final sacrifice. He laid down his life, so nobody has to do that again in order to be saved. Jesus did it. So now what do? We offer our lives as worship, as sacrifice, every single day of it. And this is an extension of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 4. Jesus came to the woman in the well, and this was a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. The Samaritans didn't believe in the whole Old Testament Bible, and they worshipped on a different temple, on a different mountain, and there was animosity between the groups. And Jesus went and talked with this woman, which was kind of scandalous at the time. And this woman said, well, the Jews worship in Jerusalem, but we worship on this mountain. And Jesus' response was, well, I'll tell you the truth. The day is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship neither in Jerusalem nor on this mountain. True worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And the point being, it's not about a place. It's not about a location. It's about people worshiping God all the time because the Holy Spirit is always in you because you are the temple all the time. So all of life is worship. Whatever you do is worship. And this is why, you know, you've heard me talk about it, said sometimes around Christmas and sometimes in the coming season that we have. You know that I'm a guy who's not really big into holidays. And here's the reason why. I think that sometimes people think that just by celebrating these holidays, that somehow counts as points with God. But the fact is, we celebrate Christmas every day. Jesus came into the world. Merry Christmas on February 22nd. Merry Christmas to you. And we can also say he lived for you and he died and rose again. Today we can say he is risen, and you will say he is risen indeed, right? We can say that today. It doesn't matter what day it is. And you know, we think about this season that we have, and some churches celebrate it more than others, the season of Lent, where you give up something and you prepare yourself for the coming holiday, which I call Resurrection Sunday. Other people have a different name for it, but I like to call it Resurrection Sunday because that's what it is. But people preparing for that, and they give up something. And my thought is, it's good. If you're doing something for the Lord, that is good. If you're doing it to honor the Lord, that is good. If you're doing it to score points with him to get into heaven, that's not so good. And my thought is this, too. If you're giving up something that's bad for you during Lent, just give it up, period. If it's bad for you, just give it up, right? But if you're fasting and you're doing that unto the Lord, praise God. We do that to the Lord. You can do that all year round. But it's not about times or seasons or places. It's about the fact that we worship God in everything we do. We worship God when we go to work, when we do shoveling, okay? Remind yourself of that. This is an act of worship, okay? Whatever you do in Colossians, it says, work at it with all your heart as though working for the Lord and not for men. You're shoveling for the Lord, okay? That'll help you. That'll help you get through the next one, okay? I think it's Wednesday, okay? But next Sunday is 50, so don't worry about it. You'll be okay. We'll get through it. All of life is worship. That's what a living sacrifice is. You give your whole life to him. It could also mean that that life may end in death for him, as we've seen with those Egyptian Christians, those brothers and sisters. And we weep for their families. We do. But as I was thinking about those guys, was it men and women or just men? All men? Okay. Those 21 people, I think about their entrance into heaven that day for the testimony of Jesus. What courage. What a great welcome they must have received entering the throne room because they would not deny the name. What a great thing. What a great honor. So we don't weep for those people. We weep for those who love those people. We weep for ourselves, but we don't weep for them. But they lived their lives for Jesus and they gave their lives for Jesus. That is what it means. So offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. I'm going to pull it together. I'll come back. It's all of life. It's every moment of every day given to him. How do we do this? How do we live for Jesus? Verse 2 tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't think like the world thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. That's basically what we're talking about here. You know, when I think about how the world thinks and how warped it is, you may know what the top grossing movie in America today is. As far as I know, I haven't seen it and I haven't read the book and I don't plan to. It's a pornographic movie. And that is the top grossing movie and the top grossing book in America today. Just tells you where we're going. And I think about, too, you know, if you just watch TV or see what's going on, the heading in a tough direction, in a bad direction. And I think about the way people act and treat one another. If someone does something, someone posts something nasty out there on Twitter, right? And you just slam each other. Because it's easy to slam someone when you don't have to face them. When you can just type it, click, and then walk away. That's easy, right? We don't want to get caught up in this fray. When I think, you know, as I think about it. And, you know, I'll just tell you, this morning, something happened as I was coming here. I came around, I come here early on Sunday mornings, I came here around 6 o'clock, and I get the sermon ready and pray and things like that, and as I was coming in, there were 5 cars that had been parked here overnight, as far as I know, not church people, and it didn't enable the plow to get around them, and my thought was, well, that kind of stinks, you know, I didn't really like that, and I have to say that, I don't know how to say this. I didn't have my Jesus on yet. It was early, right? It was early in the morning. And I was just kind of annoyed. Like, you know, we get people. I'm always expecting like 400 people to come every Sunday. Where are we going to put them, right? We got these five spots taken. And my thought was, well, I'm going to just start banging on doors to see whose they are at 6 in the morning. So thankfully I didn't do that. My other thought was I'll call the police and just have them towed. Just get them out of here, right? They don't belong here. But anyway, I went inside. Opened the book, right? Started to think a little bit more, pray a little bit more. Started to wake up, right? Started to think about what does Jesus want me to do here? So I thought about it more. I went home, and then I came back a little while later, and a couple of the cars had left, and Dave Chirko and I had to shovel by hand where the plow went around them. So it was kind of annoying, right? So I'm still praying, and I'm still thinking, and I have to tell you, there's some annoyed thoughts, because I don't know about you, I'm kind of done shoveling, right? So I'm shoveling over here on the side and things like that, and so I just prayed about this. And so this is what I end up doing, and you can tell me afterwards if I put my Jesus on or not. Okay, you can tell me. I asked the neighbor was out shoveling, is this your car, are these your cars? And they were like, no, we don't know whose it is. Okay. So I left them a note. I said, I'm glad we could leave you a parking space last night, and I said, if you want to be, you know, if this happens again, we can't get our plow through here if you park over there. So please find a different location. And I also said, please accept these gifts. And I left a box of munchkins and a Bible on the car. So I don't know. So I don't know if that's what Jesus wanted me to do. But let's think about it in terms of other things in life. You have a human reaction to things in life. Somebody irritates you, annoys you, irks you, right? What's the human reaction? Right back at you. Maybe twice as hard, right? You hurt me. I want you to know that you hurt me. You annoyed me, okay? But then what do? We're not conformed to the pattern of this world. We're transformed, right? We're children of the King, right? We're citizens of heaven. We don't act like earthlings. We act like heavenlings, right? That's how we're supposed to act. So we need to pray about that. We need to change our hearts and change our minds and be transformed. And, you know, I think about those Egyptians, and I think about one of the relatives of one of the Egyptians who has asked for prayer for those who did the executions. That's a Christ-like thing to do, right? That's a Christ-like thing in those moments, to pray for the evildoers, right? That's what we should do. Let's pray that they repent and come to faith. Let's pray for that. And, you know, I think about the snow, too. I've done pretty good with not complaining about the snow. I had one really bad day, I'm going to admit. I was out on the back deck getting ready for the next big storm. This was like a week or two ago, and I just wanted to get the snow off the deck because it was just building up too high. And I'm out there, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. The snow's up to here. You got to be kidding me. And I'm thinking, you know, why are we living here? You know, let's just take the whole gang and let's just go to Florida. Let's just go. The family wasn't on board with that. They all weren't. Bella was, actually. Bella was ready for that. But just let's just go. I just had an annoyed day. But the fact is, God is sovereign. God had this winter planned 8 billion years ago. He knew this winter was going to give us 100 inches. He knew it. He ordained it. I give thanks to God for what he's given to us in his life. And that takes some time to work that out of me. It took me a day to work that out. So as we think about this, I just want to remind us here that we live in a broken world. And there's a lot of things we can't change. But what can change is us and how we react to this world. And we can live for Christ every day. And we can be transformed. And how do you renew your mind? This is how you renew your mind. You open the book and you read it. Because this gives you truth. This shows you how Jesus reacts to situations. This shows you how loved you are. You know, one of the things that convicted me this morning is I started to ask myself the question about these people with the cars out here. I said, what would Jesus do to these people? He'd take 2 nails for these people. Right? You know, I want them out of here. That's my reaction. Jesus' reaction is I'll die for them. Right? That's his reaction. And I have to tell you, it's my pleasure every week to tell you about Jesus and how great he is. And I would encourage you to read his word, and I would encourage you to ask him to change your heart and change the hearts of everyone in this church and everyone in Massachusetts and everyone in America and in everyone in the world. That is the answer to the world's problems. Lifting all of us up, because Jesus changes hearts. He transforms minds. He changes lives. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've given us a higher standard, a perfect standard, the only standard to follow. Lord, and I pray that you'd make each one of us more and more like you. I pray that we wouldn't act like people in the world act. I pray that we would always act like Jesus. And I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.